One of the guys that I was in seminary with pastors a large church out in the L.A. area, in one of the suburban areas of L.A., and I read and I heard that they have, I think they've maybe done this several years, where they've taken a designated Sunday in the year and they've just canceled services and they've gone out into the community on Sunday morning to serve and to witness and to share the love of God among the many, many people who do not find themselves in a worship setting on Sunday morning. So I thought we'd try something a little different today. I thought we'd do something a little different. I thought maybe now we could just head out the door and go on into the community of Madison and do some evangelizing. So you first, okay? you know, I'm kidding, but maybe later today, or maybe later this week, in some way or other, some of that will be happening. I wonder what you think of when you hear the word evangelism, or what your friends and people you know think of. Evangelism is something, that term brings differing images and ideas to people, and some of them are not all that positive. Agree? Some are positive, some are not all that positive. What pictures come to your mind when you hear the terms evangelist or evangelism? Do you think scary? Ooh, that's scary business. I thought he was serious that we were going to go out that door and talk to people. Do you think, some people think distasteful? Some people, when they hear that word, the term that comes to their mind is power. Or for others, it's pushy or pushiness. Loving? Some people think television when they hear evangelism. Some people think money. It's about money. Some people think manipulation. Other people maybe think faith healers. Some people might think Billy Graham. You might think other things. I spent time this last week ministering to an older woman in the hospital. Her daughter, it looked like her daughter was dying, and when I check, when I get back tomorrow, I'll find out whether the daughter passed away or not. Many in that family have had similar serious medical issues with their hearts. As we talked and shared, and she knew I was the chaplain, and as we talked and shared, very nicely, very, very nicely, she said to me, as we talked about family and faith and so on, she said, "You know, you can preach all your sermons, but it's decent living on a daily basis that is real faith." And we spoke about people who talk religion a lot, and we talked about the need to walk the talk. And I put it in those terms, and boy, that rang some bells. I said, yeah, that's what we're talking about, is the need not just to talk, but to walk the talk. I saw her the next day in the hallway. She was very, very friendly when I just said, "How's it going in there in the intensive coronary area?" And she warmly grabbed a hold of my arm, and she spoke about her family, and then she spoke about one much younger relative. I got the idea that it was maybe a teenager or whatever, who she said, "He always goes on and on and on with religious talk," and she said, "He has been trying to convert me for years." Well, I think I know how that woman feels about evangelism, or about what the young man in her family thinks is evangelism. Yet, most of us who are here to worship this morning, we're here because somebody evangelized. Maybe it was a parent or a grandparent, a teacher, a neighbor, a friend, maybe even a stranger. And I'm guessing in many of our cases, there were a number of people who evangelized us, and probably in a variety of different ways. And evangelism is one of the things that we as a people at Calvary have said that we would like to focus on. Remember when we took the survey here a while back? Evangelism came out as one of the areas that we should focus on, that we need to strengthen in the days to come. And more importantly than that, it's one of the main things that Jesus said we should be about. So today, let's focus on evangelism and then maybe do some in the days and months that follow, or do more, or do some in different ways, or however God leads. Come with me this morning back to a dark, dreary, heavy, heavy weekend. The followers of Jesus are deeply, gravely disappointed. He had raised great hopes in them, hopes that he might indeed, they really thought that he may be the long-awaited Messiah, that he might be the one who would come and deliver them from all the misery of life. And now he had been killed. He'd been executed like a criminal. In Matthew 28, we see weary, sad women on the way to check out his tomb. But in that 28th chapter of Matthew, the Bible gives us some insight as to powerful things that had been taking place. So Matthew 28, 2-4, there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. And the guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel tells the weary, now startled women that Jesus has risen from the dead and that they do not have to be afraid. And he tells them to go and tell the disciples about it. And then we read this in verse 8. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And I look at those terms, it's kind of intriguing, isn't it? Afraid yet filled with joy. Kind of an interesting mix of emotions and energy going on there. And then Jesus meets them, and he tells them not to be afraid, and he reaffirms this, go and tell the disciples. So this is an incredible reversal. This is astoundingly good news to be shared with the disciples. And then in Matthew 28, 11 through 15, we read of a cover-up attempt by some of the guards and some of the religious leaders and the officials. And finally, we come toward the end of the chapter to what we know and refer to as the Great Commission, to the time and place where Jesus, recently risen from the dead, meets with his followers and speaks to them, speaks to all of us, about the importance of evangelism. And so we read this in Matthew 28, beginning verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then, verse 18, then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Here in these words of Jesus, in this commission, we have the foundational power of evangelism, the reason for doing it and the power to do it. Evangelism is grounded in the comprehensive authority of Jesus. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now, authority is what? Think with me about this. Authority is the ability to perform an action. If you are authorized to do something, you have the permission, you have the right, you have the power to go ahead and do it. Listen to this. All authority in heaven belongs to Jesus. In realms and in areas of power that we know little about. Beyond, in realms and regions and realities that are beyond our ever-limiting boundaries of time and space, all authority in heaven. And we need to think about that for the rest of our lives, and then in eternity we'll maybe come to discover more and more what's involved in that. All authority in heaven has been given to Jesus. All authority on earth has been given to Jesus. Risen from the dead, Jesus comes to his followers and speaks of his cosmic and his universal authority. This is not yet another regime or another administration. This is the kingdom of God. This is the rule and the reign of God Almighty that Jesus comes announcing. All authority has been given to him. Jesus came to earth proclaiming, bringing, activating the kingdom of God among the people on earth. In Jesus, and we read this sprinkled throughout the Gospels from his lips, in Jesus, the kingdom of God has come near, and he has power and authority. Authority over death, authority over sin, authority over all other authorities, authority to rule and to reign here and now and forever, to save us, to bring us to heaven, to live under his perfect, complete, and eternal rule, to bring us home where we belong. And since Jesus has complete authority, he certainly has the right to tell us to go and tell others about him. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now you go. You go. I ask first of myself and then of us, can we develop a growing understanding that the total authority of Jesus in itself is incredibly good news that needs to be shared? Jesus, who has been given all authority, sends us out to share the good news of who he is and of what he is accomplishing, what he's about accomplishing in this world. Evangelism is grounded in Jesus and in his comprehensive authority. And then Jesus speaks in this commission of the goal or the purpose of evangelism. The recently risen, all-authoritative Jesus stands telling of his authority. He doesn't go on to elaborate or explain all the implications for international relationships or for science or for society. Jesus simply says, all of this authority has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. His desired and his certain response to resurrection and to cosmic authority is that we go and make disciples. The goal of evangelism is to make disciples, to influence and encourage people to become lifelong learners and followers of Jesus. Following Jesus, people are forgiven. People are given new and eternal life. People discover what their lives are meant for. What are we here for? People learn to love. And people learn to glorify the risen Lord by accomplishing his will and his purposes on this planet where we live. I want you to listen to this from the Message. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we're a free people. Free of penalties and punishments chalked up by all our misdeeds. And not just barely free either, abundantly free. He thought of everything, provided for everything we could possibly need, letting us in on the plans He took such delight in making. He set it all out before us in Christ, a long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in Him, everything in deepest heaven, everything on planet Earth. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, He had His eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose He is working out in everything and everyone. And you know, you very likely, you know somebody who is wondering, what's life all about? You might invite them to come and check out this incredibly good news. We come to learn how to live gloriously as we are disciples of Jesus. Invite them. Bring them. It's great to be able to share good news like this. In fact, you know what that's called? I think that's called evangelism. I think that's called evangelism. Or you can invite them to come and enjoy the worship time and the teaching here this fall. Or you could just visit with them yourself about the wonder of learning what life is really about as we follow Jesus. Such good news needs to be shared because people need it and because Jesus told us to. When we think about evangelism, we should understand that the church and people calling themselves Christians, and indeed genuine Christians, have done much through the years to confuse and hurt people. We need to understand, Jesus does not tell us to enlist people in an organization or a movement, but to know and follow Him. And then He can take care of where we should be and where we should fellowship and how we should be involved. But we're not called to sign people up for an organization. We're called to introduce people to the Lord of life and to the good news of who He is. And Jesus is changing lives today, and the world will continue to be shaped and changed as people follow the all-authoritative, risen from the dead forever Lord Jesus Christ. Disciples are those who are trusting in Jesus day by day, who are getting to know Him more and more, who are growing in their relationship with the living Lord, who are realizing that there is always more to know and to experience and to do when it is the Creator, the Savior, the Lord of the universe that we follow. Always more. We're never there because He is God. And we're learning more. The goal of evangelism is disciples, Jesus followers, and the scope of evangelism is all nations. Go and make disciples of all nations. We know Jesus and we worship Jesus today because His followers down through the centuries understood that people of all nations are loved by God and need to hear the good news regarding the Son of God. Jesus, in this commission, spoke regarding the how-to of evangelism, the means or the methods of evangelism. We need to understand and be motivated by the real meaning of evangelism. It means, the word means to share or to proclaim what? Good news. When we have good news, we naturally want to share it. The good news is that God loves us more than we understand. He loves us incredibly much. Well, Jesus is asking us to follow Him and to share with others the incredible invitation that He gives them to do the same thing. He invites them to come to know Him and to share His good news with others. This is the good news of Jesus, that He forgives, that He saves, and that He welcomes us into the family that is delighting in and sharing His good news. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Evangelism extends to helping others know the things, the ways of God, but not just knowing them, obeying them. A new life begins as a person believes in Jesus and begins to follow Him. And if we wonder, how can we do all of this? And the answer and the good news is found in Jesus' concluding promise. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age.